All right, so I just filled in the details on the agenda. I really didn't have anything until a few minutes ago, but a few things bubbled up. And the first one, if you actually have looked at the page recently, you might want to reload. And I'll get into the IRC and paste that URL quickly. But the first item is actually something. So Kai's not going to be able to make today's call, but he had finished up some work on a feature that has been one of those that a lot of people, I think, have been asking for and wants to get a review on it. So he's done the work in a branch, and it's, let's see, FC repo 453. And so we've actually got a way to set that up, and I can get the review set up for that pretty quickly, but I just wanted to warn everybody that I'll be spamming the developers after this call and asking to get a quick review of Kai's updates on that. Next item is I just wanted to get a quick update on Dan's recent fixes to the admin client. Dan?
Yeah. I was on the quest to do some Maven fixes, and when I tried the admin client, it was blowing up. Originally, I thought it was just because the icons were in a different directory, and they were. But it turns out that as Java's moved along, there have been some changes in the class loader structure used by the Swing client. So I had to go through the code and fix which class loader it was using in order to find the icons in the client's jar. It's all checked in now. I hopefully have found all of them. But please tell me if anybody finds anything that blows up in the client, and I'll go in and get in there and get it fixed.
Cool. Thanks, Dan. So that changes right on trunk. So if people do an update, they'll get that right away. So this number three here, actually Bill pinged me after the call we had last week about the package naming, and pointed out that we could actually shorten our package name. I mean, it's dead cheap to just buy another domain name and forward that on to fedoracommons.org if we so choose. So actually, we went ahead and got fedorarepo.org just on a whim. Just sort of in preparation for today's call. And actually thinking about it, I wanted to, since we're looking at this again, I wanted to throw another idea into the mix, which was org.fcrepo. So last week, we pretty much agreed that steering clear of org.duraspace.anything made sense for the project, and got to a point where everybody was comfortable with org.fedoracommons.repository as the root package. The only thing with that is it's quite long. It's a lot to, under that we've got a long list of packages, so it becomes quite unwieldy. And since we're at this point, and as far as I know, nobody's actually started this process of renaming packages. Actually, I should check just in case. I didn't see any commits to that effect. So.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. So, I just want to throw those two into the ring and see if see what folks think. we have fedora-repo.org. We can easily obtain fc-repo.org, but that's just for the purpose of basically forwarding to wherever the site is hosted, which is fedoracommons.org. So personally, I like org.fc-repo because it's short, but I'm a command line person, so...
Well, I guess the only thing that comes to mind is with last week's org.fedoracommons.repository, it seemed like a part of that was maybe the assumption that moving forward, possibly, there would be other things that hang off of, you know, other projects that hang off of Fedora Commons, you know, this one being the repository, and there'd be other ones. And so the package naming sort of captured that a little bit. And I don't know if that's something that we want to retain or not.
Yeah. Yeah, and so, I mean, things that, you know, Fedora Commons being not really the organization anymore, but just the community around the software, it's fairly loose in terms of that namespace, if you will, the use of that. So people who do sort of contributions that are developed by their institutions might, I mean, like G-Search, for example, threw it under, you know, basically the host name of the original contributor, which is fine, I think. So the question is, like, do we need that extra namespace for something, and does it, I think it might be kind of wishful thinking. I mean, to think that people are going to choose to put their packages together under org.fedoracommons.anything, mm-hmm. Other than, you know, our specific project. But I mean, thinking about even some of the services, well, that's a good one of software that we've got right now. The OAI provider, for example, is currently, I think we put it under fedora.services.oaiprovider. We could easily have that under org.fcrepo.oaiprovider and or .services.oaiprovider. But is there anything currently that we maintain that needs a home separate from what we were calling last week .repository, or if we change it to org.fcrepo?
It seems like an argument can be made, you know, either way, pretty much for anything that is in relation to the repository in some way. We could say, oh yeah, it would certainly fit under the repository category. I mean, if we had the other level, we might be able to, you know, make arguments for pulling something, you know, out to the org.fedoracommons level. But it doesn't seem unreasonable to put anything that has relation to the repository under, you know, org.fcrepo or .fedora-repo.
Yeah.
With regards to the two names, I like the shortness of fcrepo. The only thing that fedora-repo gets us is maybe a little bit more name recognition with the word fedora in there.
Yeah. It's a tough one because we've always sort of ridden that line of, like, we want the name to be recognized, but we don't want the confusion with Red Hat, Fedora.
Right. I don't think Fedora Repo is going to be confused.
Well, let me... I think there is such a thing as a Fedora repository that's a Red Hat.
There is. Let me check. I was on... GoDaddy looking at them while you were talking. FC.org is not a legal name.
Oh, because it needs at least three? Or
FC repo would be.
Yeah, I'm checking FCrepo.org right now.
Yeah, that one I just checked.
Okay. Yeah, fedorarepo.org, I guess you got already.
Yeah.
But it's true that when doing a Google search on Fedora repo, you get the repository. For,
oh, yeah. Fedora.repo.
Right.
Yeah, but then you get a nice mix of our stuff in there, too.
Right.
Yeah, whereas,
unfortunately, not the top links.
Yeah. Well, if you type FC repo, you get a bunch of pug reports. Big concerns about switching away from org.fedora commons for the name, for the root level name. And then maybe we can sort of just whittle it down to these two if people are generally comfortable with that.
That seems fine. I tried to go shorter than f.org by just going with the low order bit, but control a.org didn't register.
Oh, shoot. Yeah, actually, maybe we could compress it. FC repo is certainly distinctive, but doesn't really roll off the tongue.
I'm not sure Fedora repo really does either.
Yeah.
FC repo can be F creepo too, which is not very flattering.
Well, I always saw when people use the term repo, I always flashed over to Repo Man.
Mm-hmm.
But oh well. Actually, we do have our Twitter account is called Fedora Repo, so you know. It works. That was one of the links that came up in searching for that. Presumably, we'd get more, you know, once we start putting things out there called Fedora Repo. I could go either way. Sounds like there's a bit of discomfort with the F creepo. Personally, I'm not, I think we could actually make this decision now. If anybody feels like, you know, we should push it out, I'm cool with that. I don't think anybody's going to be changing package names this week, but we might as well put down what we like. So I'll put it out there as a suggestion. Let's go with fedorarepo.org. We have the domain name. It's not creepy. It's pretty short. All right. So, and everybody has to agree not to look up any shorter domain names after this. Okay. FedoraRepo.org. All right. I think we can consider that closed.
Again.
Yeah.
This time we'll lock it.
Go ahead, Dan. You want to use that same name for the Maven artifacts.
Yeah, I think the artifact ID should match the root package name.
Yeah.
Yep. So next item on the agenda. So normally we would have had a special topics meeting this week, but we actually had two in a row. So the next special topics meeting is actually next week. And we had a running list of candidates on the wiki. If you go to the page, the parent page of the agenda for today's meeting, it's on that list under meeting notes. So we had something we've already done, which is code review and update on migration to Maven. I think that's kind of an ongoing topic appropriate for committer meetings as we make progress. We had this idea of an EC2 share-a-thon, and I think there could be some, that could turn into certainly an interesting topic. We did have a discussion about OSGI already. We can certainly have more, but I would actually like to wait till Eddie comes back from his meeting with the Ian Boston and folks at Sakai doing some initial OSGI work to kind of get sort of define what the next step is there. So we also had this community development roles topic where we wanted to talk about, assigning, basically saying or delegating some of these things to folks in the community, whether committers or not. So we had a couple roles defined, release manager and Jira gardener. I think we could certainly get into more detail on that, have some useful discussion there. So I guess, to me, I see we've got really a couple candidates for the next meeting defined so far. And that's number 2 and 3 on this list, the EC2 share-a-thon and community development roles. Any other topics you guys want to throw out there? All right. Well, any preferences on one or the other, EC2 share-a-thon or community development roles?
Well, for this group, what would the context be for the EC2 share-a-thon?
I think it's, maybe in thinking about how Fedora could run in the cloud. But that is kind of a broader discussion there that, isn't really Fedora specific at all. It's more of a topic that's probably of interest to this group, but maybe we could think about that as a broader discussion.
Mm-hmm. Well, give me a few weeks and I'll be glad to do a session on performance testing with Grindr.
Yeah. Well, I think that would certainly be useful because you've had some experience on that and working on the Sun stuff. So let me add that to the list of potential topics.
Kai may that would also be a good session for Kai to discuss their work again.
Yeah. Yeah. So, community development roles. Any thoughts on that? Seems like a pretty good topic, quite relevant to this group.
Yeah, seems like it'd be a good brainstorm session for what things folks, especially non-committers, could do, you know, to help out.
Yeah, it's certainly good timing, Chris, with all the work we're trying to do.
Yeah. I don't know if it's a subtopic of that, but to discuss how the community begins to talk about features, goes through the requirements and the design, and eventually takes on feature development.
Well, I should actually give a little follow-up from last week on our, because that reminds me of the, when we were looking at some of those issues that we said, hey, you know, this is out of scope for the core committer team. This is probably a community project. I think, we had a follow-up discussion, Thorny, myself, and Matt Zumwalt, and Matt is really trying to bring together this what we're calling right now the Fedora Create community, which is basically, you know, all the interesting software development and projects that are around the Fedora repository. I think, well, my opinion on how that plays out is that I think kind of by definition we're quite loosely coupled in how we put projects together. I mean, there's some coordination that needs to happen in terms of, you know, making sure people aren't duplicating effort. But the techniques people use, I think, are going to vary quite widely. so, you know, in one case, it might be just some sort of lone ranger doing an interesting hack that, you know, does a lot of good for a big group of people and doesn't really, you know, go through the whole process of requirements analysis and design. They just put something out there, and that's valuable. And then there are these bigger groups that I think, Thorny, you're kind of trying to bring together around the solution communities, right? Which are
That's really more aimed at getting sort of technically aware managers with resources together to try and create the opportunity for development to happen. Okay. So less about the developers themselves, which I think is what we're, the interface between those two areas is really interesting.
Yeah. So one thing that came out of our meeting last week on that topic with Thorny and Matt was that these, as in terms of getting things in, I mean, we've got basically this big inbox in our tracker right now, and we are going to take some of those things out and put them somewhere. And so we actually talked about it and agreed that throwing them into another Jira tracker made sense for this Fedora Create community. So this was kind of stuff that people identified as, yeah, I want this, but maybe nobody's bitten off on it yet. So it seems like it is a pretty simple way to just put them out there instead of, you know, as long as that wiki is, or that other tracker is clearly available on the wiki and people can see that what they threw in wasn't lost. I think that works. So,
yep. And one of the things we talked about when we talked about that was it'll have a slightly different cast to it on that other side, on the Fedora Create side, because it's not sort of, you know, it's a different context than in the Fedora repository service side. But we just have to get people used to what that means. So,
yeah.
Well, if you're looking for another special topic, I think a few weeks down the line, the JCR Tools folks will be deep enough in their project that having a guest speaker might be nice.
That sounds great, yeah. Added to the list. So next week it sounds like we're going to go ahead and do community development roles. So this will be a brainstorming session on the scope of the roles that we define as useful out there. And I think it would be useful in that discussion, actually, Thorny, maybe if we could get in contact with Matt mm-hmm. to kind of talk about the interface there too. I mean, yeah. we started this number three, you know, kind of before this Fedora Create thing was really envisioned. But certainly I see overlap here.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we've identified at least a couple roles, but maybe even getting him in on that brainstorming. Or
okay. Let's invite him to the call and see if he can get it on the schedule.
Yeah.
I'll do it.
Cool. Okay. Going back, get to the meeting here.
So one quick note on the package name discussion. Just wondering if it would be useful to grab the fedorarepo.com as well as the .org in order to avoid confusion.
Yeah. Well, it's pretty cheap to grab it. I don't know that we're at too much risk there, but have we been doing that for our other domain names?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'd have to go back on GoDaddy, but I think routinely we pick up .info and I think .net.
Info is like so sub desirable. I mean, I think that the fact that we did pick up .info was kind of the fact that it used to be fedora.info, but I think out there in the wild, .info is kind of in the same domain as like, you know, .ly or
biz.
That biz, yeah.
Please don't shoot the messenger. I'm just reporting that. But there's a certain pattern. We can see it on GoDaddy of the ones that.
Well, .com.net and .org, I think, are the three that are.
Biggest, yeah.
You know, that. Well, and .edu, but, you know. That's for really. Different people. So actually I think getting .com would be good. We do have we didn't get any other top level domains. So
those fedorarepo.org and fedora-repo.org, right?
Yeah. I don't know. So well, I'll bug Carissa about that a little later today. Where's the chat here? Okay, so moving on. Let's go through the issues. So as we discussed last week, I think just going in reverse order makes sense so we can make sure to catch all the older stuff. And eventually we'll get caught up. Maybe we'll do it this week. I don't know. So if you go to that link on the wiki, the last item here is FC repo 444, and that's Fedora Home should not need to be writable. So that's kind of true. This Renaud is pointing out that in a lot of installations like his, you give people pretty limited permission on a certain area of the file system. And in his case, it made it difficult to install, because apparently his admin didn't want him to have a whole directory full of writable. I don't know. I guess I can kind of see the point of restricting rights to a certain area, but it seems to me that Fedora Home, even though some of the stuff there is invariant, isn't really like, you know, a big problem.
Well, it seemed like there's some. I mean, there was an email I think last week. Some other person was. It was related in the sense that I guess it was sort of more of a documentation issue. They didn't realize that Fedora Home needed to be writable.
Hmm.
And it seems like that's what 444 is also, you know, kind of saying in a way, is, well, at the least, you know, maybe just document, you know, like what directories need to be writable.
So the difference between when you're running Fedora, I mean, the web user or the Tomcat user really only needs to have access to /data, status logs. I don't think it really has to have access to management. So I guess I do see this as kind of a documentation issue. I don't, I think good hygiene would, you know, have us making sure that the as few as possible full directories are considered writable. But actually changing Fedora Home so that it's not writable, I don't think is. I mean, well, we.
It seems like Renaud was just trying to have a single, like, top level directory that included all the writable stuff. So it seems like, you know, he's saying, oh, you know, he understands why, you know, logs and you know, the data streams and objects directories and things like that need to be writable.
Yeah,
but it seems like he's just suggesting, you know, maybe we should collect all the things that you know, need write permissions in one location, and then let the rest of Fedora Home.
Yeah, like having a var Fedora area for writable stuff.
Right.
Let all the non-writable stuff be in a separate area.
So, yeah, config and...
equivalent to, you know, user local Fedora.
Yep. Hey, Brad, what does... do you know what DSpace does on this front?
Same thing that Fedora is doing, which is that the issue hasn't come up yet in terms of really locking them down.
Yeah. Okay, so I think I'll go ahead and open this one, but I do want to change the title to be a little bit more toward documenting and you know, being specific about what needs to be writable and what doesn't. Since we are kind of cross-platform, it makes it difficult for us to, you know, to say our directory structure needs to be, you know, split up in like the standard Linux way or the recommended use of, you know, var local, user local, etc. I mean, I think it's possible for one to put like the data directory, have the data directory exist somewhere that's compliant with a standard installation on a Linux server. In practice, people often don't do that when it comes out of the box, but so I am going to go ahead and change the title to document what needs to be writable.
Mm-hmm. You can change the priority and type.
Yeah. Let's see. Yeah, change it to. Oh, it's marked as critical. I'm gonna change this to minor for now. I think depending on your perspective, it's critical, but other folks can chime in and vote, and we can raise the priority if other people see that that's necessary. I guess I see it as, it is an improvement though, right? So the type is correct.
Well, is there a documentation type?
There is a documentation roadmap theme.
It seems like maybe there's more here than just documentation, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, pulling the data directory is, you know, pretty obvious, but pulling the things that he notes under server, you know, status logs, you know, various things under management, trying to pull all those things sort of together into one location.
Document and consolidate what needs to be writable at runtime. Does that cover it?
Sounds right.
It does. I hate to prolong this, but just I think there's a question of in what windows things want to be writable. So, you know, the data directory is always writable. The logs directory is probably always writable because you need to write to it all the time. But when you get out to things like configuration, when you start to think of that from a locking down systems admin perspective, sometimes you don't want them to have the same writable scope as the other two, which is to say you want them to be locked most of the time.
Right. I think that's true. And actually, I mean, in terms of configuration, it's interesting that, you know, if you have functionality on the repository to make it possible to change the configuration via a web interface, then suddenly it becomes necessary that the, you know, or you have to split out configuration. So, you know, passwords and things go in to some other
space. Or you have to explicitly mess around with permissions. And I know this because we've recently been looking at securing a Joomla that's been being attacked. And what it does is it actually has a switch inside the web interface, which essentially chmods all the config files to being changeable or unchangeable. So you lock or unlock your Joomla from the admin console in terms of configuration changes, which hypothetically at least protects you against other vectors getting at those files.
Yeah.
So I raise that in this context just to point out that there might be three categories of writability here. You know, one for the code, one for the config, and one for the stuff that changes on a very regular basis.
I'm writing this in the comment. Wow, somebody got cut off, huh?
We're all driving around on our cell phones.
Yeah. Okay. So there's certainly a security aspect to this. So authorization, just at a OS level, really, but okay. Doing an update on that. All right, next item. 447. So Renewed also says that blue needs to be reserved for links. Well, interestingly, I mean, that's actually a good point from a usability standpoint, that, you know, people do tend to go for the blue thing that's underlined because that's the way, you know, things were defined. And probably Jacob Nielsen would agree. So I think for stuff that we create, provided that we're not doing anything particularly fancy, that using the sort of default or the expected presentation of hyperlinks and not underlining things that aren't links is a good idea.
Does that attachment work for you guys?
No.
He attached it right to Jira, so I am. See, repo 447. Interesting. I'm going to have to check on that in the meantime because I'm concerned that we may be missing other attachments. So, in the end, even though I think, you know, our regular mode of operation with Fedora isn't web user interfaces, I think this is a good point. So, go ahead and open this one. Our old friend FC Repo 454. So this was the extensible object and data stream states. So just some history on this. Fedora, for every object and every data stream and every object, has three states: active, inactive, and deleted. Fedora itself doesn't care what these values are. You can actually write policies that do care what those values are. And I think one of the default policies is that you can't, normal people can't view an object whose state is deleted, for example. So this came up in the context of a discussion about workflow and the desire to basically set the state of an item in a particular workflow. Would this be like basically a lightweight way of expressing the workflow state rather than using it for visibility? It could just be kind of a generic state that people could use however they wanted. So we had this discussion, and talked about either having a state attribute, keeping the state attribute as is, but basically opening it up so people can put whatever they want in there and have it mean whatever they want, or adding an additional attribute for tracking workflow state. And then I see that Steve, you recently entered a comment on here.
I was talking to York University about this because they've got some sort of requirement for some basic workflow implementation. So I had a bit of a think about it myself. I've got an overall question, which is as kind of part of the Fedora persistent model, as it were, is it appropriate to persist workflow state at all? Is it part of what you want to preserve, or is it kind of more transient and should be handled outside as a generic point?
Well, I think we haven't really said anything architecturally about workflow in Fedora, so it's a way to persist store objects that are, you know, considered a unit for storage.
Yeah.
And if part of the definition of that object is that, you know, it's important that the state in a particular workflow is preserved, then I think it certainly could fit into that.
Stanford is doing this in their work do system, but they're doing it in their own data stream. And the workflow, movement through the workflow becomes part of the provenance information on the object.
But we should be aware that that really makes their audit trail balloon out much faster.
Yeah.
That's one problem that's come up. And we have that whole issue with inline data streams that they're putting all those data streams in line, and I've been telling them they shouldn't be doing that. But at any rate, that's one problem. When people want to do that, they seem to want to have the workflow tracked by the object in some sense. It does seem to be they want to have that part of it.
I can see how it would be convenient. Steve, you also mentioned, I mean, now that we have RHEL's int, that it's actually possible to do this as a specialized statement in either RHEL's ext or RHEL's int.
Indeed, so
I thought that was interesting because, I mean, the thing, I'm a little uncomfortable with the idea of overriding state. I mean, certainly opening up the possibilities on the existing attribute is nice, but it makes the semantics pretty loose, right?
Mm-hmm. It does, and it might break something for the people as well if they've used that for a different purpose.
Right. So if people wrote outside software that expected those to have three possible values, then...
Yeah, and I think they are useful values. I think people acknowledge that, you know, they are. At the level they're at, quite useful.
Yeah.
The only thing I did observe is that as part of FoxML, we do have extended properties. You know, we have Fedora object properties. There's about four standard ones, which include the current state. But within the schema, there's an ext properties element, which is obviously intended for adding sort of your own custom properties.
Yeah.
So I wondered whether that could be appropriate. But then there's a question of whether we would want to index that in RHEL's ext as well, in the resource index.
Well, currently we have an issue where those, in fact, we don't say much about those ext properties at all in the documentation. And currently the issue is you can throw things in there, unless you export the object, you're not going to get them back out.
Yeah, you can't read them and you can't update them.
So I think there's an interesting architectural issue here with whether properties about the object should be expressed in a data stream inside that object, or should they be expressed? I mean, essentially, you know, RHEL's ext gives you the ability to say any set of additional, make any set of additional statements about the object. So what are the reasons one would choose to express properties in, say, that root object properties element? I mean, let's say we did have a method to manipulate those, and let's say they were indexed in RHEL's or in the resource indexed. What would be the advantages of putting them in there versus in RHEL's ext?
Possibly usability from a programming point of view, that if you've just got some basic API calls to update those properties, that might be easier than manipulating RDF and finding the right bits to update. But on the other hand, we now have the relationship API that may well help with that.
Yeah. It certainly covers adding and removing properties.
But the caution that I would make is that unless these are properties that are really fundamental to the Fedora architecture, then the semantics of them are fundamental to the Fedora architecture, or have a really compelling argument for interoperability, that you need to push it off into letting people do their own thing.
I'd agree with that. In essence, I'm not sure that we should be making statements on how workflow should be implemented, but we should provide tools that allow people to do their own implementations,
yeah,
which Rails X, Rails In would do. Or indeed, if we extended the extended properties stuff so that you can manipulate those, people could define their own properties. But why do that when you've got Rails X and Rails Int anyway?
Yeah.
So maybe it comes down to a question of, you know, is workflow a specialized enough and generally needed enough problem that we need to have a special, we need to make a special case for it?
Probably say not. I mean, if someone goes for a full workflow implementation, then probably their workflow engine would handle persistence of state anyway, outside of Fedora.
Or they have a need to store more than just one property describing the state.
Well, indeed, if you've got a hierarchical sort of state machine situation, you probably need quite a lot of stuff storing.
Now, the group you were talking to, Stephen, that needed to do workflow, what level did they need?
Probably not very much, and they haven't thought about it completely. But yes, they like it, is the answer.
Yeah.
It does seem like if there is a way to make it easy to do workflow, just in a very simple sense, then that would be a nice convenience for a lot of folks who really don't want to do a full workflow implementation.
Yeah. But using Rails X and the relationship API effectively does that, I think.
Right. So that's why I was saying if workflow is important enough to make a special case for it, in other words, in order to make it convenient or easy without having, like you said, it's a little bit cumbersome maybe to have to write the RDF necessary to do that versus making a call. If we have a specialized state or workflow state property, making an API call that says change this state to this other value.
The thing is, you don't need to have that on the Fedora API. You can have an external service that writes the material either into Rails X, Rails Int, or its own data stream. So you don't have to put this in the core.
Yeah, I agree with that, Dan. On one hand, we do want to make sure people have a clear and relatively easy path to changing a property. But if it's just a syntactic issue for adding a relationship, creating a specially named method to add a particular relationship, seems like we could say, okay, here's, maybe address the problem in terms of documenting the relationship API. Saying here's the way that make it easy. Obviously, developers are going to be doing this, so make it clear and easy for developers to add a particular relationship in a way where we don't need to add specialized API operations, because it does sort of beg the question of where do we stop in defining additional API methods? We have the power to persist whatever.
Well, I guess sort of where this started was we already have an API method to adjust the state value. So what do we lose by allowing that state value to, by default, have the three values it has now, but be extensible or changeable just by configuration?
I think as Steve pointed out, that if folks did have software out there that depended on those being one of those three values, it certainly could break those. I think the interesting thing about state is that Fedora has doesn't really care what the value is, but because we made a distinction in the past that it is a restricted set, that now we have this issue of needing to, unless we want to break, or unless we're okay with, or see that there's not too much risk in that of opening it up.
Yeah, and I can see people wanting to express states using a persistent identifier as well. So, for example, a URI to represent, or URIs minted for their own different states, which might cause a problem if we just use the existing state attribute.
Right.
And I think that's just a literal, isn't it? Whereas if they use RailsDex, they can, again, do what they want.
They can specify that it is, in fact, a resource instead of a string.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I certainly like the Rails ext, Rails int option personally, but I feel like there's something that we need to carry forward with this, at least the documentation. But I don't know. It doesn't feel like we're coming to a real strong consensus on, whether to extend state or RailsExt or have people do it in RailsExt and RailsInt. We can sort of get, on one hand, get more eyes on this, but In my opinion, the RailsExt and RailsInt is really the way to go for stuff that the architecture is neutral on, because it feels like we get into problems of on saying state needs to be defined in a certain way, certainly just as a string. If we say add a new attribute value or extend what state is, it gets us so far with a certain number of implementations. The discussion about RailsInt and RailsExt actually makes me wonder if state is something that, like, if we had our way, if we didn't have to sort of bow to the gods of backward compatibility, would it be appropriate for state, since it's not something that Fedora really depends on, to be something that is put in RailsInt or RailsExt? And actually, several of those properties, kind of trying to figure out where the line is. Is it really, something that needs to be in like the core definition of the FoxMull? I thought for sure, Dan, you would have an opinion on that.
Well, it seems like in one sense that we could push all the properties essentially of an object into RDF. The problem with that is those are data streams that we do allow pretty much anyone who can edit the object to mess around with. And if you're expecting certain values in there, as far as in order to be able to perform certain activities on an object, then you sort of give people a really easy way to shoot themselves in the foot by putting that information inside the Rails and to RailsX data streams.
So there's an argument that it's having it outside those gives people more or less of an opportunity to shoot themselves in the foot because they're kind of relegated to, you know, these are the really important ones. And whatever you want goes over here. It's not going to totally, you know, it's not going to sacrifice the, well, I don't know. Because, I mean, people can always build software that really has a strong dependency on what's in RailsInt and RailsXt.
At least Fedora would be able to function normally if you delete both of those data streams as far as what it's going to do with the object. I mean, you may not be able to find it in the resource index, but the object itself, as far as, you know, knowing what, what its state is and being able to answer questions reasonably.
Having a section, you wanted that opinion, having a section in the FoxMall, however it's expressed, which has got a Fedora-controlled vocabulary in it, and Fedora-controlled semantics in it, seems to be very needed because it gives you a base interoperability for everything. The trick is to make it as small and as limited as possible. It can be expressed as RDF. I mean, we could take what's currently all of our system properties and express them as RDF, mm-hmm. or they could be expressed like they are. What we're saying in there is it's a controlled vocabulary. It's a controlled semantics. And you can at least trust that much.
Right.
So the question is does it need to be extended for any interoperability, really fundamental architectural reason?
Yeah.
So it feels like there's enough concern about doing this, and we don't really have anyone asking for it directly. Maybe this is something that we shouldn't do. And I'm sure workflow will come up again. It might be nice to be able to reference this discussion, but for now, it seems like maybe closing this issue and discussing workflow later on in a different context of something that someone actually needs to accomplish work might be reasonable.
Yeah,
possibly with the documentation example, kind of like a for instance of what you can do with RailsX could include an example mm-hmm. on states. But.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
Now, is there a community group working on workflow?
No,
like around Hydra or something?
Well, the Hydra project is working on issues to do with workflow. There's a lot of people out in the community that have been working with different engines or making up their own sort of formalized workflows. I was going to make a site on the wiki where I was going to start inviting people to tell us what they were doing with workflow, especially where they were doing some kind of fairly large scale, organized, structured kind of workflow. But I haven't done that yet.
It seems like it might be valuable to sort of at some point extract, maybe like best practices out of, like what that community generates.
Well, I'll go ahead. This convinces me that it's worth me making redoubling my efforts. There's a handful of people that I would just invite to add their own approach, like the Stanford people and people at Northwestern University and the Hull people who used Active People and the East Side Doc people. It would be interesting for people to just do a short contribution to a site about what they found and what their issues were, and that would at least be a starting point.
Yeah, and potentially they could drive some requirements of shortcomings that they saw.
Yeah, Matt had workflow as one of the topics in his mind for this Fedora Create group too. So we'll work on that, you know, surfacing people's experiences and their getting their needs.
Yeah.
Part of the idea of the Fedora Create community is that it can feed requirements back into the core where they're core requirements, but otherwise they can keep track of their own requirements and work on them.
And that's a big part of what I've been trying to do, is to collect information on workflow in kind of a broad sense. I don't mean necessarily Beeple or a formal workflow engine. It includes both that, but anything that allows you to orchestrate or sequence a set of tasks.
So it sounds like maybe we need to have a social topics meeting about this down the road a bit.
Another one.
Yeah. Especially once the Hydra folks, I mean, it seems like they've been working steadily along on each of their own implementations. So if we could,
we have a face-to-face meeting this week, actually, the latter part of this week, and the workflow approaches is going to be on the docket for discussion there. So there may be something to offer before too long.
Okay, I'm submitting an issue on just improved documentation on using the relationship APIs. Just to cover what came up in this discussion about that. But then I'll go ahead and close the issue at hand, just how it's couched, but capture the desire for a future discussion about workflow and how it works with the repository as a separate, just on the list of special topics discussions.
Yeah, and I'm just getting a sense that very little needs to be flowed into the core in order to facilitate workflow.
Yeah.
But there's going to be a lot of stuff where people do implementations for specific engines or products.
Yeah.
Well, and there's certainly a lot of potential for best practices to be widely shared if we ever came up with them. So, but again, this is not part of the core committers kind of commitment. I don't think it's more on that Fedora Create side of the house.
Yeah. Okay. Just going to add this. Gonna go ahead and close that issue, and I think maybe we can attack another one before we get going here.
Okay. Well, I have to go, guys. So see you next week. Bye. Okay.
See you, Thorny.
So getting back to FC Repo 494, Fedora Server doesn't appear to be closing database connections. So this one still needs somebody to look at it, so I don't want to put it into the open state. It still needs to be verified.
I just wanted to note that I couldn't really be absolutely certain what was going on. But it actually appeared to be Tomcat was hanging on to these connections for a long time when we were trying to do the sun testing.
Mm-hmm.
Not Fedora.
Okay. Well, that helps. And this, I mean, this looks like it's been characterized by the submitter as being, in his case, just relegated to the old Fedora admin client. Or actually, no, Fedora client, the library. It seems like if we can prove it out that it's probably just in the fact that the client seems to be keeping a connection open for whatever reason. But still need somebody to reproduce this.
As an aside, Tomcat also appeared to be holding on to lots and lots of file connections, but it actually gives them up after a while.
File connections, you mean like if you do like a low-level IO, what is it, not IO stat or?
Yeah, I'd watch the memory usage on Tomcat keep on climbing and climbing and climbing, and you'd think that the thing would die, and then all of a sudden it would let go. I ran 150 million objects and watched the thing just eat up all the memory in the machine, and at some moment let it all go and start over again. So this was a system memory. It was not heap.
No. Well, I guess I could see it pulling things into the disk IO buffers.
Mm-hmm.
But
can't tell you why.
150 million. That's cool.
Yeah.
It's a nice big number. All right. So I am going to go ahead and keep this issue open, but I'll go ahead and assign it to me to get back on it, because it's been sitting out there for a while, to try to reproduce this issue and see if I can't get it moving to the next state. So we did pretty good today, getting there. We're back down to... less than 10. So thanks a lot, everybody, for helping out with this process. And I'll be shooting an email out to you guys on where the review site is for Kai's change. If you can take a look at it, I think that would be helpful.
Sure.
So. All right. Thanks a lot. Talk to y'all later.
All right, see ya.
Bye.